Please open your Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 12. I'm going to direct your attention to verse 18. This is how the Word of God does read. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. I'm going to use this verse this morning to teach on the topic, a pain in the neck. Our Father and our God, we now commit this time of preaching into thy holy hands. Be thou glorified, our Father, as thy word is declared. Bless both the declaration as the reception of thy word. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Except you are living in a remote island all by yourself, in this life you will have to interact with people. Whether in a family setting, work, church, or in just a general social setting. And quite frankly, that is how God has designed this life. That is why he identified a lack of human interaction as a problem in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, when he said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him." And you know what? Interacting with others in terms of human interaction is invaluable to our emotional and mental health. It can lighten our mood, make us feel happier. It can provide support, promote a sense of safety and belonging and security. On the flip side, though, the absence of human interaction can lead to all kinds of mental health crises. People go through depression. People experience cognitive decline. Some feel a sense of insecurity. Some that loneliness might lead them to all kinds of psychosis, and the list goes on. That is why solitary confinement in prison is often used as a means of punishment. Because when a person is placed in that place called a hole, as they call it, they often tend to experience some kind of mental breakdown. But, you know, human interaction, I believe, is a double-edged sword. On one end, it can be very beneficial. On the other end, it can be very challenging, especially when we're dealing with people that we perceive to be very difficult. Whether in our families or at our workplace or at the church. And the reason that we perceive these persons to be difficult might be because of their combative and argumentative nature, or because they are insensitive and extremely disrespectful in their attitude, or they are mean and very abusive, and they're just unreachable. You can't reason with such a person. Now, I don't have to be a mind reader. As I'm looking at all of you this morning, some of you are smiling because you can resonate with what I'm saying. Perhaps you're living with one person like that, or perhaps you're in the same church with a person that has such an unreachable attitude and spirit. Now, it is easy to say, "Lord, you know what? They're just too difficult. I can't deal with them. So, Lord, I just don't care about them. I'm just not gonna talk to them. I'm gonna give them the silent treatment. I'm gonna just put them on the shelf." Or some of us might say, "Lord, you know what? I'm gonna be vengeful. I'm gonna give them a taste of their own belligerent behavior." But as a Christian, we have to contend with what the Bible teaches. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 and 45 will tell us. He said, "Love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, in order that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and send rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous." Writing to the church at Galatia, the Apostle Paul will call us. He said, "So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to those of the household of faith." Again, the Apostle Paul will write, Romans chapter 12, verse 20 and 21. He said, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For by so doing, you'll heap burning coal upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So, loved ones, this morning, it is obvious that as Christians, when it comes to people that we perceive to be unlovable, difficult, or even unreachable, it is important to understand what the Lord expects from us. And this is it. The Lord expects us to love them and to find ways to coexist and be at peace with them. Then the pointed question this morning is simple. How do we now love and coexist with a person who is difficult, or simply to put it, who's unlovable? How do we love and coexist with a person, as the word said, who is a pain in the neck? Well, this morning, I believe the word of God calls us to love and coexist with them, also gives us ways to do it. And this is exactly what I want to do this morning. I want to deduce from the scriptures. How do I love the unlovable? How do I cope and coexist with a difficult person? Now, one thing I believe always stands in the way of dealing with people in general, regardless of whether they're difficult or not, is our lack of understanding of what I call the principles of human relationship. That is, our lack of understanding of the innermost longing of everyone when it comes to relationship. That there is an unconscious longing that each one of us have when it comes to human relationship. So as a preamble, before I even go into how to deal with difficult people, I want to first of all lay down what I call the principles of human relationship. And this is going to give us a clearer understanding of people in general and relationship in general. The first thing is this, I want you to write down. Everyone wants to be loved. Again, you want to write that down. Every single person wants to be loved. You know, it is now a known scientific fact that love and affection are essential for a child's healthy brain development. A child's feeling about themselves, how confident they are, and how well they cope with stress are all affected by the way their parents respond to them in terms of love and affection. What that simply means is this, that God has wired each one of us for love. Again, I want you to watch what I'm saying, that God has wired each one of us to want to be loved and to want to love. That is why you see people going out and seeking dates. They go out and they got to find a companion, because God has designed us and has wired us. That's part of the image bearing nature of God within us, that there is an innate desire for each one of us to want to be loved and to love. And when true love is present in any human relationship, there is always bound to be less dysfunctionality in such relationship. People in those relationships are more forbearing and more accommodating to human frailty. But when love is absent, there is always bound to be more dysfunctionality in those relationships. So what does this remind us about this principle of human relationship? That it is necessary for love to be present in relationship, because a lack of love is going to communicate a sense of rejection and ultimately going to lead to difficulty in the life of a person that doesn't experience that love. And sometimes difficult people always evolve because they grew up in a state in which they're deprived of that very key principle of love, human relationship, that every one of us wants to be loved. The second human principle of human relationship is this. Every one of us want to be heard. Now, I want you to look at your body. Look at the human anatomy. And look at the design of your body. You know, one thing is obvious. God wants us to listen. That is why he gave us two ears. You see what I'm saying? Unfortunately, we do more talking, one mouth, than we listen, two ears. Now, listening is invaluable in every human relationship. You know, when you truly listen to a person, even though they are saying absolutely nothing or they're saying jargon, but the fact that you're listening to them, you know, it lets them feel important. It gives them the sense of value that someone is listening to me. And so that is what happens in human relationships. Every one of us wants to be heard. Every one of us wants someone to listen to us. But when you don't listen, which, by the way, is what it happens severally in different relationships, you are bound to communicate to that person that they are not important. You are bound to communicate to that person that, listen, your views, your opinion doesn't matter. And that communicates negativity to such a person. And that negativity often bears upon their nature, and they ultimately become resentful, and that resentment can turn to difficulty in their own life. That is why it's important to always listen. And I constantly tell couples this when they come to my office for any form of session. I said, listen to what the person is saying rather than trying to think of what you're going to say before they finish or cut them off. Because every one of us want to be heard. We want someone to listen to us. That is the way God has wired us. The third principle is this of human relationship. Every one of us want to be appreciated and respected. Again, you want to write that down. Every one of us want to be appreciated and respected. In Gary Chapman's book, The Five Love Languages, one of the love languages that he identified was the words of affirmation. You know, which is another way of saying words of appreciation and respect. So essentially, what Gary Chapman was trying to identify is the inner longing, which I believe of every one of us, not only married couple, in every relationship. Every one of us in every relationship longs. We desire to be appreciated. We desire to be respected. Have you ever tried saying to somebody, thank you and appreciate you? If you do that, look at their demeanor change. Look at them feel good about themselves. If you respect a person, see how that person is going to respond to you because you respect who they are. You respect them as a person. And usually what we often see is the opposite of this. There is disrespect. People don't give words of affirmation. They don't encourage. They don't appreciate. And when that happens, it comes to a point where that issue now becomes a struggle. Because that person is not receiving the appreciation, is not receiving the respect. And what does that communicate? It communicates that I'm not important. And this is the key, everybody. Listen to me this morning. These three principles of human relationship bears a lot on how we deal with people in general, but also bears a lot on how we deal with difficult and unreachable people. Because I truly believe some of those unreachable people are product of a failed understanding of human relationship. Now, this now brings me to that vital question. How then do I go about dealing with difficult people? What does the Bible say about this? How do I achieve this? Well, I truly believe the Word of God has a way for us. How to deal with difficult people. The first thing is this. Always see the value in people regardless of their belligerent behavior. always see the value in people, regardless of their belligerent behavior. In Genesis chapter 1:26, we're told that God said, "Let us make man in our own image and in our own likeness." And what did God do? God created man in his own image and in his own likeness. What does this mean? That each one of us are created in the image and likeness of God. We are image bearers of God. As such, we have value. Again, I want you to listen well. We all are value. It is not because you have a house, you have a car, you're driving a good car, or you're living in a patchy neighborhood that makes you valuable. No, the reason you have worth is because you are made in the image and likeness of God. And again, that is very important, because whenever you see people in that state of value and worth, it becomes the springboard to compassion. Again, pay attention to what I'm saying this morning. Every time you view people from the viewpoint of being an image bearer of God, that they have value and they have worth, what ultimately that springs up to, it gives you a tender heart to be compassionate. You know, it is that compassion ultimately that leads us to want to pray for those that are enemies. You know, how can you pray for someone that can stand you? You can only do that when you have this sense of compassion. You know, it is that compassion that leads us to be able to forgive. You know, without compassion, it is tough to forgive. It is compassion that leads us not to want to treat them like they treated us. You know, it is compassion that leads us to want to love them regardless of what they're doing or what they're saying to us. You know, without seeing the worth and the value in people, there is no compassion. And when there is no compassion, difficult people, we will always be distancing ourselves from them, because we don't see them as being worthful or having any worth to even try to reach them. And when you go to the Word of God, the same way God views each one of us, isn't it? You know, God views us through his eyes of compassion. David will write to us in Psalm 103, beginning at verse 10. Said, "He has not dealt with us according to our sin, nor rewarded us according to iniquity. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so has he removed our transgression from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." Listen, it is the compassion of God that ignites his mercy. Because God is a God of compassion. And I truly believe when we begin to see difficult people through the lenses of being image bearers of God, that will kindle within our soul spirit of compassion. You might say, "Pastor, well, listen, I've been seeing them like that, but I don't have compassion." Pray. Pray for God to arrest your heart with his compassion, that you can look as someone who's difficult, be compassionate, so that compassion will lead you to seek to find a way to coexist with them. The second thing is this. You have to practice what I call these principles of human relationship. Practice the principle of human relationship. Love, listen, appreciate, respect. That is how you can coexist with difficult people. You know, I believe behind every person there's a history. There's a history behind every one of us. And history, some of our history are not very pretty history. There might be history of dysfunctionality. There might be history of abuse. There might be history of trauma. There might be history in which there's a breakdown of that principle of human relationship. You know, someone might be difficult because there's a trauma in their life that they've been holding on for so long, and they don't know how to get rid of that trauma. And that trauma is leading them to be very distrusting of people, and to be very suspicious of people, and to be very angry at people. Some people have gone through issues in their past history. But that issue that people have shut them down, that people don't listen to them. And guess what? They've become resentful, so that when they come around you, the first thing they think is, whoever had done this to me in the past, the projection come to you. And those things happen a lot. You know, that is why some people are difficult. And oftentimes, when I encounter difficult people and I begin to talk to them, I always try to show them a difference. In other words, I try to let them understand, I'm not here to judge you. I'm not here to tear you down. Oh, your history, probably those things have been present. But I'm here to listen to you. I'm here to love you. I'm here to respect you. I'm here to appreciate you. And when you begin to communicate that to people who are difficult, oh, it's not going to be magical. They're not going to change tomorrow and become perfect in their behavior. But slowly but surely, you will be able to melt. You'll be able to break that resistance. You'll be able to tear down that stronghold, that fortress that they build around themselves. And slowly but surely, you can reach their heart. And when you reach their heart, they will be able to respond to you back in the same way that you responded to them. And then you begin to win over these persons who you believe are difficult. Listen to me, loved ones. You know, someone said it well. He said, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Light can only do that. It cannot drive out it. Only love can do that. Listen, you can reject them and do the way they do and be vengeful towards them and expect them to be different. No, we got to seek to practice these principles of human relationship. And when we do that, let the Lord begin to use that to slowly chisel the hardness of their heart so that they can have a heart of flesh. The final thing this morning I'm going to share with you is this. To win over a person who's difficult or at times unreachable, you got to be true to yourself. You have to be true to yourself. You know, dealing with very difficult people at times can be very tough. And it's so easy at times because we want to accommodate people we perceive to be very difficult. We violate our boundaries. We compromise the word of God. And by so doing, we let them continue to violate us, to compromise the word of God in order to want to please these difficult people. But you know, when you do such a thing, you are actually injuring yourself and turning yourself into the person that you're trying to please. In other words, the more you let them violate who you are, the more you let compromise the word of God, you begin to build within yourself a form of resentment. Resentment that you don't even know. And that resentment also will cause you to begin to act in a way that ultimately will reflect a person who's difficult. That is why, even when dealing with difficult people, we need to listen to what the Apostle Paul teaches us. He said, if possible, you know what I mean? At times, it's not going to be possible. If possible, so far as it depends upon you. At times, you know, no matter how much love you show, how much compassion you show, at times only God can break such a person. So guess what? Don't violate your boundary. Don't be in a relationship where there's constant abuse, where your abuse, your boundaries are constantly violated, abuse over abuse, and you just stay in there because you don't, you really want to cope with all this. You are violating your boundary. Or some will tell you, I don't want you to go to church because I don't like church. And because you want to please them, you don't do what God calls you to do. Listen, as much if possible, says the Apostle Paul, so far as it depends on you, you be at peace with them. What that means, that at times it's impossible. At times it's going to be a struggle. At times you're going to struggle in trying to please a person. At such, you got to be yourself. And let the Lord be the one to transform their heart. Let the Lord be the one to change them. And this is where you go into prayer and begin to pray that I'm going to walk in love, but Lord, I'm not going to violate my boundary. Lord, I'm going to walk in love, but Lord, I'm not going to compromise your word, but I'm going to pray for this person that God in his mercy will do the transformation in the depth of their souls. And when the Lord does that, they will be able to see their own ways and come to repentance. This morning, I believe, loved ones, these three ways the Bible lays out for us on how to deal with people who are very difficult, who are unreachable. And God, in his mercy, when we do observe and practice these pragmatic ways, God is able to use those things to bring them to the point of knowledge so they can understand this truth and come to obedience and faith. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, this morning, we do honor and thank thee for the mercy thou hast so to richly bestowed upon us. Father, be thou now glorified this morning in the declaration of thy word. Bless, I pray, the hearing as well as the doing of thy word. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.